This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That weekend went really quickly. It flew by. It was all about the football. Oh, and decorating the Christmas tree, at least for me. It smells so good in my living room. I will not post a picture of my Christmas tree with its pretty lights. Just because I feel like that's what everyone does, and why would you want to see my Christmas tree? However, I feel very accomplished. Into the stand. Oh, I actually had to trim branches, too. Into the stand. It's straight upright. I got it into the house. The branches settled, and I put the lights on, and it's so pretty. And it makes me feel like it's just a matter of days until Christmas and the family gets there. That's awesome. And I hope you feel the same way about the holidays. However you celebrate, whether you travel or you stay home. Usually I travel. This year I get to stay home and welcome the family to my house. But everybody knows this is also go time, crunch time, stretch run for the NFL. And of course, the end of the college football season with conference championships on Friday and Saturday. So it's time to go to work right now. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. So there's about a million places that we could start. Generally, I start with Sunday Night Football, and we'll definitely get to it because the Rams have put themselves in position. They've turned their ship around with back-to-back wins, but a month in which they've played much better football. That Ravens loss notwithstanding. I was trying to think of a more descriptive word than loss. That Ravens rout notwithstanding. Oh, the Ravens do that to a lot of teams. But let's look at the standings before we even talk about Sunday Night Football. Congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs, who become teams 2 and 3 to lock up playoff spots for January. So we knew the Saints, going back to Thanksgiving Day, had already clinched the NFC South Division title. The Chiefs, by virtue of their win in Foxborough on Sunday, and the Raiders falling below 500. Wow, they have dropped off a cliff. 3 straight losses for Oakland. But those two things put together, and the Chiefs are the AFC West champs again. And while the Ravens don't yet have the North Division title locked up, they are now 11-2, 9 straight wins, assured of playing in the tournament, and they've got the best record in the AFC. A lot of moving and shaking. Also in the AFC, this may be Mike Tomlin's best coaching job of his career. The Steelers at 8-5, tied with the Titans, who behind Ryan Tannehill have won 4 consecutive games and 6 of their last 7. So the Steelers and Titans are 8-5, a smidge behind the Bills, who, yes, still have AFC East division title hopes. However, those 3 teams right now, front runners for the wild cards if they don't win division titles. Texans, at least for now, remain in first place in the AFC South. But get this, 2 of Houston's last 3 games, 2 of Tennessee's last 3 games, well, they're together. The Texans and the Titans will be battling out, duking it out for the AFC South title. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. In the NFC, the Niners back in front in the West Division. And right now, sitting in that top seed, though weirdly enough, they have not yet clinched a playoff spot. But that's because the Seahawks are breathing down their necks and the Rams are still kicking around. So the Niners moved to 11-2. Man, what a game against New Orleans today. I can't wait to break that one down. The Packers, what did Aaron Rodgers say? I don't care if we win ugly all the way to the Super Bowl. He's got a point. The Packers moved to 10-3 in Matt LaFleur's first season. He's the only Green Bay head coach ever to have 10 wins in his inaugural season at the helm. So Packers right now would be sitting in that number two spot in the NFC. Saints have already won that South title, as we talked about, falling to 10-3. Same record as the Seattle Seahawks. And we won't talk about the East with every single team below 500. Though the Eagles do play on Monday Night Football against Eli Manning and the Giants. And they could tie the Cowboys for that top record in the NFC East, though it's nothing to write home about. Don't get excited. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm excited to talk some football with you. We also have the college football playoff all set for late December and then early in January. I think it's interesting, and we can talk more about this, that people clamor for an 8-team playoff when honestly didn't conference championship weekend serve as part of the playoff. May not be officially in the playoff bracket, but Utah had a chance and lost. Baylor had a chance to get in there and lost. Georgia had a chance and lost. The other teams took care of business. They were all playing for a spot in the Final Four. So those games in the conference championships, while it doesn't always work out that way, easily served as a playoff for the playoff, if you catch my drift. All right, so on Twitter or on Facebook, our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It is hard to believe we have 3 Sundays left in the NFL regular season. How in the world did that happen? I don't know how we got here, but I suppose since I'm decorating my Christmas tree and preparing for my family to arrive in not even 2 weeks, I better get in touch with reality and realize we're down to the nitty gritty in the NFL. And the Rams have found themselves a rhythm. They got behind the Seahawks 3-0 on Sunday Night Football. And then boom, touchdowns on 3 of their 4 drives in the opening half. Up 21-3 at the break. And they never looked back. But I was actually really impressed with the way the defense operated, specifically in the second half. Now, yes, they made the Seahawks look bad, disjointed, discombobulated, ineffective in the first half. But it was the second half in which they had to come up with the big plays to cover up the mistakes of the offense. So Quandre Diggs has a pair of interceptions off Jared Goff, and the Rams miss a field goal. That essentially is how they start the second half. Laying it out there and saying, yo, Seahawks, you want to come get us? Here, the door's open. But the Rams defense covered it up and covered it up again and covered it up again. And so that's what impressed me most about this game. And we've talked about the defense for the Rams being different since the trade for Jalen Ramsey. Not just a trade for the present, but also a trade for the future. However, in the present, Ramsey gives them an edge, a physical edge, an aggressive edge. He tries to get the mental edge with all of his trash talking. To me, that defense is what's spurred this turnaround, in addition to a healthier dose of Todd Gurley. And of course, Sean McVay saying, I'm not going to be an idiot anymore. But I like the fact that what we're getting from the Rams now is this intensity and a little more like what we saw last season, that if you dare come into our house, we're going to make you wish you didn't. And that if our offense isn't perfection, we still have a defense that can hurt you.
Under center, Goff takes a snap. Wilson slides to his left. heaves it deep downfield. This one at the goal line is intercepted. Intercepted by Troy Hill. He was down by contact in his end zone, but there's the takeaway to seal it.
So it's a brutal day for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense. Only 5 of 14 on third down. They're 0 for in the red zone. And while we know that the Seahawks are comfortable operating in tight situations, you wouldn't even call this one tight. They never put any pressure on the Rams. Russell Wilson goes 22 of 36 for 245 yards, but he's sacked 5 times and throws that pick that you hear with J.B. Long on the Rams Radio Network.
They played better than us tonight. We didn't play our best game. There's opportunities out there that we had, and they just didn't go our way. There's a lot of season left. Where we're trying to go, a lot more season left, a lot more things to do. Everything's still out in front of us. We got to play one game at a time and just get better, see the film, figure out how we can get better as a collective group.
This is a rough night for the Seahawks tonight. We did not do what we had planned to do at all. And I thought it was a really good night for the Rams. They did a lot of stuff that they wanted to do. They were able to control the ball and move it like they wanted to and stay pretty secure with it for the most part as well. And they did a nice job on us early in the game. Without question, early in the game, they were controlling the tempo.
Really pleased with our guys today. Definitely some things that we can clean up, but I thought our defense was outstanding from the start against a great offense that's really been putting a lot of pressure on people. It's a great football team tonight that we played. Coach Carroll and his staff, we have so much respect for that team, his coaching staff, and all those guys. And I thought really our team did a nice job responding, and now we got to do a great job next week against the Cowboys.
455 yards for the Rams overall, and Goff is not sacked even once. You get the Jared Goff rhythm more and more in the last month, but it has a lot to do with the emphasis on Todd Gurley and the run game. So yet again, he's over 100 yards total. And with Coach McVay making a concerted effort to feature his star back more and more, the Rams are getting back to being a dual threat. They're not nearly as easy to defend. But I like that Coach McVay highlights the defense, because honestly, the defense was the star of the show on Sunday Night Football. And so the Seahawks and the Niners, they flip-flop their spots in the NFC West. Of course, we still have a game coming between those two. Oh, I can't wait. I'm geeked up and salivating over that one. Niners at 11-2, Seahawks at 10-3. We will talk about Niners and Saints coming up. And there's so much else that we need to get to on this show. Patriots fans, what the hell are you booing for? But also Chiefs, wow, what a turnaround for them as well as they lock up the AFC West title. Excited to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Wow, just one game left in Week 14. We're off and running. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Fourth down and 8. Josh Allen out of the shotgun. Devin Singletary with him in the backfield. Ravens show blitz. Here comes Earl Thomas off the edge. Singletary's pass over the middle. It is incomplete. No flag on the play. Marcus Peters with the play. And with 1:03 left in Buffalo, the Hayes in the barn.
Both teams coming in to try to prove themselves. And they did that. You know, they were playing hard football the whole entire game. Offense and defense, special teams as well. But we ended up coming out on top and with the victory. And we just got to keep going.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The now familiar voice of Lamar Jackson as the Baltimore Ravens extend their win streak to 9 games. And this was definitely one of the marquee matchups in Week 14. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Offense was pretty hard to come by in the first half when Baltimore was only leading 10-6, and the two teams were combined 4 of 15 on third down. However, the Ravens open up the second half with a 61-yard touchdown toss over the top. It was perfectly lofted from Lamar Jackson to Hayden Hurst, and they go in front then 17-6. Baltimore loves its tight ends. We've seen that over and over this season. And the Ravens continue to hound and pound Josh Allen. They were physical. They were aggressive. I thought the Ravens' defense just made life miserable for Allen, which is exactly the point. Josh Allen's got to be able to step up in these types of games with everything on the line. Have we seen some positive performances from him? Have we seen him take steps forward? Have we seen him really grow in this, what is it, third year in the NFL? Sure, but this is a game that kind of catapults him to the next level. It was an opportunity. It was there for him. And neither he nor the Bills offense took advantage. And it wasn't just him. He was under siege all game long. 6 official sacks by the Ravens defense. And get this, another dozen quarterback hits. 6 sacks, a dozen extra QB hits. And so forget being effective. Half the time he's running for his life. And it wasn't beautiful offense for the Ravens, but they are comfortable winning ugly. They can beat you a variety of ways. And they've certainly shown their ability to take the show on the road. Jerry Sandusky with the final call, essentially, of the game. Marcus Peters, there goes that man again. Marcus Peters knocks away a 4th down pass attempt with 1:03 to go to seal it for the Ravens. And in doing so, he ensures that the Ravens will make the playoffs in 2019/20. They get to play in 2020. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So that game was going on at the same time as Niners-Saints. Safe to say that a lot of people were surprised by the number of points put up between San Francisco and New Orleans. Not that we don't believe they're capable of this, but heavens, did they think they were the Chiefs and Rams of 2018? Oh my goodness, a shootout in the Superdome. And highly entertaining. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this game. New Orleans comes out with 4 touchdowns in their first 4 drives, including what was the QB leap over the top by the old guy, Drew Brees, on a 4th down. Lots of drama, lots of 4th down conversions, lots of risk-taking by both these head coaches. Jared Cook with a pair of long touchdown catches. Of course, on the second one, he takes a nasty hit to the head and gets stuck in concussion protocol. And then you had the Emmanuel Sanders highlights. A 75-yard touchdown grab for him. And then it's followed up by a touchdown pass on a trick play to Raheem Mostert. And so it's 28-27 Niners at the half. Seriously? 28-27. 55 points between these two teams in the first half. And over 500 total yards before they ever hit the locker room. Pretty amazing. Then in the early stages of the third quarter, you've got mistakes by each team. You've got turnovers that lead to points. And for a while there, it looked like the Niners might be comfortably ahead. But you know, this is Drew Brees, and this is his house. And trailing 45-40 with just over a couple of minutes remaining, the Saints, this is so comfortable. This is him in his niche. Brees marches the Saints 76 yards and 7 plays in 90 seconds. Oh, hey, that was easy. I mean, they make it look easier than it is. A defensive pass interference flag puts them in the red zone, and Brees finishes off that touchdown drive to Tre'Quan Smith. Now, here's an interesting piece of information to keep. Kind of the decisions that you make as a head coach. they do not go for the kick, the point after attempt, of course, because it would have just put them up by one. But the Niners hold them out of the end zone on the two-point conversion. So they're not leading by three. They're just leading by a single point when San Francisco gets the ball back with 53 seconds left. Now, it's kind of funny. In New Orleans, in the Superdome, this is a situation where you fear Drew Brees. Do we finally fear the Niners in these situations? Have to go the length of the field, need to score, only a minute to go. Well, they're facing a fourth and two, and this is the play of the game.
Garoppolo back. He throws out left. Caught. George Kittle down the sideline. 40. Runs by a man. Stiff arms a man. Still pushing. No flag. Three flags come in. They may get George for a personal foul on the stiff arm.
No, they didn't. George Kittle looked like a badass. If his helmet had been off, his hair would have been flying behind him. Oh my goodness. What a power move. George Kittle bangs his way 39 yards. He's banging. He's rumbling. He refuses to go down. And he instantly puts the Niners into field goal range. Greg Papa with the calls on the Niners radio network.
Here's your football game. High snap. Wisnowski got it down. Robbie Gould's kick is good! Robbie Gould beats the New Orleans Saints at the gun.
It wasn't anything different than usual. I thought everyone was calm on the sideline. You know, I thought we were all in a good state of mind. And we went out there and just executed. That's really what it comes down to in those situations, execution.
Execution and George Kittle, who is a marvelous beast. That was my tweet. I couldn't come up with anything else that I felt was more fitting for the Niners tight end. When he's healthy, he is a major weapon. And last week, it was all about his blocking. But this guy is a jack of all trades. So Robbie Gould for the 30-yard field goal to edge the Saints in the Superdome. Garoppolo goes 26 of 35, just shy of 350 yards, four touchdowns. The only mistake being an interception, but actually it was off the hands of Emmanuel Sanders. So maybe E should get charged with the INT. Mostert over 100 yards again, a score for him. Would you have thought it possible that the Saints would lose a game in which Drew Brees threw for five touchdowns? Michael Thomas, he continues to amaze. I love that connection. One of the most reliable, profitable connections in the NFL is Brees to Michael Thomas. And yet on this day, they come up short. Now, they still are right there in the running for a bye. They've already clinched the South title, but this is one that they'll chew over for a while.
I would say today was just a hard-fought football game. I mean, all the way around. Both sides, you know, back and forth. They're a great team. I feel like we're a great team, have the ability to be a great team. So this is like a heavyweight boxing match. Just trading punches.
Man, a back-and-forth game, a tough loss, and so many different momentum swings in that game. You probably have to watch the film two or three times to, you know, kind of go through the ebbs and flows that it had. Credit San Francisco. They made the plays in the end when they needed to. It was a little surprising to me that it ended up being that type of game. I didn't think it would be. I thought it would be much lower scoring.
I'm telling you what. You could sign me up for another one of these in the NFC playoffs. Both of these teams, so explosive. Both of these teams, as Drew Brees points out, can match up in a dogfight, a heavyweight fight. And honestly, this is not what I expected. But we know in the NFL, you should, in fact, expect the unexpected. Now, coming up top of the hour, so about 30 minutes from now, we're going to welcome Patrick Claibon of the NFL Network. So we'll talk to him about what we saw in the NFC today and also about the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to join us from Los Angeles now that he's done with all his Sunday NFL duties. And I'd love to hear from you, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Patriots get booed off the field at the end of the first half against the Kansas City Chiefs. And still, what did Cam Newton tell us? Butts got tight at the end of this game for KC as the Patriots were making a push. Yet another incredible matchup in Week 14.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mahomes throwing off the back foot. He wants McColl. Hardman, he's got the catch at the 15. Jukes at the 10. 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. Jet fuel, 48 yards as Mahomes off his back foot finds McColl Hardman, and the Chiefs take the lead. Third down and goal to go at the 4. Kelsey's under center. Kelsey with the football. He's going to run it into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. The high school quarterback from Cleveland who played quarterback at the University of Cincinnati for a while takes it on a wildcat shotgun snap and into the end zone, and the Chiefs get their second consecutive touchdown on a Kelsey direct snap run.
We gave up the one long play against that offense. You can't give it to them in one play. And then we had them in the red area, and then we gave it up on that the wildcat triple option. So it was really two bad plays in the first half.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
As Devin McCourty of the Patriots defense laments the big plays given up to the Chiefs, 346 total yards, but really highlighting a second quarter that was a major bounce back for Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. A couple of calls with Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Interestingly enough, the Patriots were the ones that started out with a fantastic 1-2 punch on both sides of the ball. They open up the game with a touchdown drive, and you get this idea that maybe the Patriots are going to find a groove. Maybe the Patriots are going to take control like they do typically when they're at home, where they haven't lost in 2+ years. They make teams look stupid most of the time when they come into Foxborough, and that includes some of the best teams in the NFL. And so they start out with a touchdown drive of 83 yards, and it's capped by trickeration. It's a little flea flicker, and Julian Edelman hauls it in just beyond the defense, falls into the end zone. Crowd goes wild. And then, for the first time all season, Patrick Mahomes is picked off on his first drive. And while the Patriots don't do anything with it, they also are really able to limit the touches for the Chiefs and Mahomes in that first quarter. But then you get the seesaw effect. Second quarter belongs to the Chiefs. A 4-minute touchdown drive, a good mix. That's the one that results in Mecole Hardman getting loose through the secondary. He goes 48 yards. And then Bashaud Breeland steps in front of a pass and picks off Tom Brady, or steps in front of a receiver, picks off Tom Brady, and it's a short field for Kansas City right away, and you get the direct snap to Travis Kelce for the touchdown and the 10-point lead. So the Patriots, after starting out in near-perfect fashion, go scoreless in the second. They give up 17 unanswered points. Kansas City leads 20-7, and as the Patriots are walking off the field, they're getting booed mercilessly in Foxborough, Gillette Stadium, where they haven't lost in 2+ years, where they had won 21 consecutive games, including the playoffs. To me, that's a sign of spoiled, rotten Patriots fans. I get it. You pay a lot of money for your tickets. You want to see a good performance, but A, how does that help your team? B, are you kidding me? Are you really that ungrateful that you need perfection every time your team steps on the field? And do you not know these Patriots? Do you not know Tom Brady? Do you not recognize that the game isn't over there? Gross. I had a bunch of people send me colorful tweets when I called Patriots fans spoiled for booing their team after a half of bad football. Okay, let's boo you. Actually, it was one quarter of bad football. And I had some, as I say, colorful language. I was utilizing my block and mute button liberally like I always do. And here's what I came up with. Not only are you spoiled, some of you are freaking entitled. Your team is giving you nothing but highlights for 20 years. The kind of consistency that other teams only dream of. And I don't just mean football. I mean across the board in any sports. Model franchise. But after one bad quarter. Oh, by the way, your team already has 10 wins. After one bad quarter, you feel entitled enough to boo? Hey, newsflash. At some point, Tom Brady's going to retire. Bill Belichick isn't going to be coaching anymore. Why don't you save your boos for then when reality kicks in? Are you kidding me? Spoiled, rotten. You deserve nothing. 20 years, 6 Super Bowl titles, several other Super Bowl trips. What is it, 14 or would be 4? No, I'm wrong. It's almost 20 years of a winning record. Have they won 10 consecutive AFC East titles? Working on an 11th. And you need to boo? Are you kidding? Yeah, I don't even bother adding me because I'm not going to change my opinion. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, KC trips up a bit. Oh, wait, the Patriots, they're coming back. KC trips up a bit out of the halftime locker room. There's a block punt. Then Travis Kelce with a fumble. And, oh, lo and behold, the booing stopped in the third quarter when the Chiefs let the Patriots right back in it. So New England scores 9 points off of those Chiefs' third quarter mistakes and a massive mistake by the officials. We know that now. We could see it on the replay. N'Keal Harry gets called out of bounds at what I think it was the 3-yard line. Didn't step out of bounds. And so his touchdown was called off. Now, it wasn't as though it was a turnover. The Patriots still had an opportunity. The problem was the Patriots were out of challenges. Don't ask me to explain the challenge rules. Essentially, they'd lost one, and even though they'd won one, they didn't get another one in return. So no more challenge flags for Belichick, which meant that the Patriots ultimately settled for a field goal. Again, they had another opportunity. They couldn't get in the end zone. And they're trailing by 7 points. But still, in the final 4 minutes, they get the ball back. And we get to see a side of Tom Brady that we only dream about. I can't help it. This makes me laugh every time I watch the highlight and I remember how Tom Brady says his mom thinks he's the fastest player on the field.
7-point lead, Kansas City. 3:26 to go in the game. Brady steps up. He's going to run. He's got room. 20-yard line, 15, and slides down to the Kansas City 12. A run of 17 yards by Tom Brady on 4th down and 6.
Mitch Holthus on the Chiefs Radio Network. Can you hear it in his voice? You've got to be kidding me. That's what that Mitch Holthus tone of voice was. You've got to be kidding me. And so Brady, can we call it a scamper? I don't know if we can. Tom Brady cruises. He runs like a gazelle, like a Giselle. I'm just kidding. I don't know how you describe his running. Like I said, his mom thinks he's the fastest on the field. He goes 17 yards. He gets the Patriots into the end zone. And I'm thinking what I'm sure many people are thinking. Oh, yep, here it comes. No more booing, huh?
Brady, a long count here, trying to give a hand signal to Edelman. Takes the snap, chief spring pressure. Left side throw, and it's broken up in the end zone! Broken up in the end zone! A quarter route to Edelman, knocked down by Breshad Breeland. 5 yards deep in the end zone. The Chiefs hold on downs at the 5-yard line.
What a play and what a game for Bashaud Breeland, who had the interception earlier in the game. And then he knocks down that fourth down pass away from Edelman. And Brady was under pressure again. Only three official sacks, but we've known this since the beginning of Brady's career. Well, maybe 5 years in, when he was no longer fleet of foot. That the key to interrupting Tom Brady, the key to making him look marginal, average, is to put pressure on him. And Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, dialed up some great pressure on Tom Brady. And even though there was no sack on that fourth down throw, he ended up on his rear end because the pressure was coming and he was forced to hurry. Now, it's still a great play by Breeland. It's not so much about the pressure. Breeland got his hand in there and knocked it away. And so Kansas City hangs on and ends that Patriots 21-game home win streak at Gillette Stadium. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Patrick Mahomes banged his hand on the ground, so landed hard, kind of banged his hand early in the game. And Tony Romo was pointing out that he felt like the passes didn't have the same zip, that they were coming off of Mahomes' hand a little differently. But he still goes 26 of 40, 283 yards, a touchdown, and then the interception that we talked about.
I mean, that's a really good defense. I mean, they've been really good for a long time, especially this year. And for us to go out there and put 23 points up, I mean, that shows that we're going in the right direction. Obviously, we didn't have the second half that we wanted, but we're still going in that direction.
And so this is a big deal for Patrick Mahomes, for the Kansas City Chiefs, for the defense, for Andy Reid. They needed a win like this, not only because it secures the AFC West title for them, but because it hasn't been the same team as we saw a year ago. They need these battles. They need to be tested, boosting confidence, but also knowing that they can win games like this. One thing that really impresses me about the Chiefs, and I feel the same way about the Ravens, I feel the same way about the Niners, the Saints as well, they can win on the road. The Chiefs are 6-1 away from home, as are the Ravens. Same record as the Niners have away from home. To me, that speaks volumes about your defense, because defense travels and you need your defense to travel if you're going to be, well, unless you're going to get the top seed and not have to travel in the playoffs, which of course the Chiefs had a year ago. And they lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship in overtime. But if you can go on the road in hostile territory, although I guess not so hostile when the home team is getting booed off the field at halftime. Please make me roll my eyes. This victory for the Chiefs in a place where they may end up again is huge for this stage of the game. But what was the most impressive performance of week 14? Sunday, week 14. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Now, coming up, we welcome Patrick Claibon of the NFL Network. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.